Lord, we just come to you this morning and we thank you and we praise you, Lord. We thank you for all the grace that you show us every single day. We thank you, Lord, for the mercy that you show us. We thank you for the patience that you show us. We thank you, Lord, for all the things that you do through us and to us and with us and for us. We just offer ourselves to you this morning, Lord. We offer this time up to you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your blessings. And we just pray, Lord, that you would guide us as we talk about some of your scripture today, that you would guide us throughout this whole day, that you would be with us, that you would be here in this little piece of your church today, Lord, that we would feel your presence, know that you are here, sense your presence, feel your Holy Spirit, that you would just set this place, Lord, alive, and that you would help us as we go through the service today and the praise and worship today, and that you would just be with us today, Lord. We just thank you so much, and we offer this time up to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are on number 36, which is the Holy Spirit. What does it say? The Holy Spirit enables us to obey the truth. And it tells us to read 1 Peter 1:22. Find it.
First Peter 1:22.
Now I read 1 Peter 1:22, and it says this. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brother, love one another deeply from the heart. And I read that and I went, what? Did somebody say something else? It says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart.
Yeah. Mine says basically the same thing, I guess. It's, since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart.
Yeah. I read that and I kind of went, wait, how does that tell me that the Holy Spirit helps me to obey the truth? And so I backed up a little bit and I said, well, let's back up to where it starts there at 13, where it says, be holy. I thought, well, we'll get a little more perspective. So I read that and it says, therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you, when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers, here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb, without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart.
Because the Spirit helps us to obey the truth, basically.
Yeah, but I didn't see how this scripture said that. So I looked at it and I was like, all right, well. Where do I go from here, Lord? So I started praying about it. I'm going, what do you want me to look at? How do you want me to bring this out? And basically, I got, let's just have a discussion on truth. And so then I came up with some things, and I looked up some other scriptures and found some other scriptures that have to do with it. But I was thinking about it, and I thought, you know, the truth. What is the truth? What is truth?
Truth will set you free.
Truth will set you free, sure. I believe that. But what is truth?
Jesus.
Jesus. He said he was, right?
The Holy Spirit.
I mean, I thought about that, and I thought, you know, that should be a really simple answer to a question to answer, but it's really not that easy to answer that question. What is truth? You know, so I started looking a bunch of stuff up and checking stuff out, and I found scientific definitions of truth, and I found philosophical definitions of truth, and I found all kinds of different truths out here that we have in the world. There's absolute truth, there's relative truth, there's empirical truth, convenient truth, conceptual truth, and I'm like, holy mackerel.
I just found the King James Version.
I'm like, that's really confusing. That's a lot of different kinds of truth. And so I looked up the Almighty Google and to see what the definition of truth is.
Almighty Google.
The Almighty Google to see what it said the definition of truth is. And it said this. The basic definition is most often used to mean being in accord with fact or reality or fidelity to an original or standard. And then it said, a fact or belief that is accepted as true. And I went, what?
See, even Google doesn't know.
I was like, what? That even confused me more.
Yeah.
Now it says, most often used to mean being in accord with fact or reality. And I'm like, okay, but you've got to know what fact and reality is in order to know the truth. And then it said fidelity to an original or a standard. Well, fidelity to an original or a standard. And I thought, okay, if God is the original and the Word of God is the standard, then I can buy that. But not everybody believes in God. And not everybody even thinks God exists. So does that mean that they can have a different truth?
All your definitions sound like truth is just whatever you believe it is.
Doesn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what...
Exactly.
I read that and I was like, what?
I think there's a lot of, you know, they were still worshiping idols and stuff like that instead of, you know, realizing that it was the blood of Jesus Christ that has given them that peace, and, you know, that's why you believe in him. I mean, that's what I kind of think. It's tough for me out here because all the other stuff is our perishable things. I mean, you know, they just go away, all that, you know.
Yeah.
He's just trying to tell them that they need to, you know, have a solid foundation, I guess, with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But when it says the Holy Spirit helps us obey the truth, I was like, wow, how are people out there in the world supposed to even know what truth is? Because that's where the whole relative truth thing comes in. You know, truth is apparently relative.
I guess we need to try to show that.
It's because it says, what did it say? It says, a fact or belief that is accepted as true. Well, if you go according to that, if enough people believe it's true, then it's true, right?
Yeah, that's what Satan wants to look at it, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm like, wait a minute, you know? It's like, so I got a cup of water right here, right? And if I tell you that I got a cup of hot water right here, and you believe it, and you believe it, and you believe it, then it must be a cup of hot water. If everybody believes it.
Yeah, if we believe it strong enough, if we touch it, it would be hot.
But it's coffee. It's not water. So just because we all believe that it's like, wait a minute, that just didn't make any sense to me. It's like facts. It says a fact or belief that is accepted as true. A fact even is one of those terms that we throw around pretty loosely, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we go, oh, well, as a matter of fact, it's blah, blah, blah. Or, well, the fact is, and we throw that word out there so much, it's like the word love. We've cheapened the word love because we say we love everything, and so we don't even know what real love is unless we look at the biblical aspect of love. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the way fact is anymore. Because people can just throw something out there and say the word fact with it, and we're supposed to believe it because they used the word fact. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense, but that's exactly how the world's been operating, right? For a long time.
Yeah.
Because facts can change. Facts aren't always facts. They change with different conditions. There's just so many versions of truth out there that if somebody's actually trying to take the time to figure out what is truth, they can pretty much pick whichever one they like that they feel comfortable with and say, this is true. You know, so when we say the word of God is true, or when Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, how do you really understand that?
Yeah, because that's how we have all the divisions right now in the church. Yeah. You know, like some churches think that that water out there, when you baptize that water, is what causes your...
Right, you know, right. And they believe that's true.
Absolutely, they believe it. They believe it. You know, Acts 2:38, you know, that water has nothing to do with it. That's just showing it.
That's right.
You know,
it's a...
That you died, you know...
It's
back up.
It's like taking communion too. Some people say, well, once it enters your body, it truly becomes the blood and body of Christ.
Right.
And other people say, well, it's bread and wine, it's representational. It just it's to do something in remembrance.
Right.
So you get all of these different things that people say, well, no, this is true and that's true, and it's like, phew, it's confusing. And that's biblical stuff.
Yeah.
Leave alone all the stuff out here in the world, right?
I know, that's what I'm saying. It's this is all truth. No one's saying much about it. This is truth. But look how the truth can be twisted. And it's twisted all the time.
Yeah, all the time. I threw out a bunch of those different terms, empirical truth and all these different truths, and I'm like, all right, let's see what these are. So I looked up empirical truth. Empirical truth is based on facts, data, testing, and observation. Right? Which is pretty much science. That's what science does. Science is based on facts, data, testing, and observation. And I'm like, okay, well, that sounds good. If I'm a kid growing up, or if I'm a person that, you know, that's out there trying to figure out what's right and what's wrong and what's true and what's not, if somebody says, well, this is based on facts, data, testing, and observation, so it must be true, except facts can be skewed and observation changes with the observer and all of that, right? So all of that comes back to being relative again, you know? I wrote down here, I was like, yeah, it's like my neighbor texts me and says, oh, hey, it's snowing outside. And I'm like, really? And I look out the window and I'm like, huh, it's snowing outside. So I call my brother and say, hey, it's snowing outside. And he looks out the window and goes, no, it's not snowing outside here. So is the guy telling me the truth? Yeah, but it's only true for him, or it's true for me. It's not true for my... It might be snowing outside, but you can make that statement anytime, any day. You can say, hey, it's snowing outside. And it's true, because somewhere outside it's snowing.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's
so
true.
So that truth is... So it's like, it's relative. It's not absolute. You know? It's like, and then, like, convenient truth. Convenient truth. I think an example of convenient truth is like the whole global warming thing. Is the world truly warming up? Is our atmosphere truly warming up? There's data that proves it. There's observation of things that says, yeah, this is changing, this is happening. But people take that and they apply that truth to whatever agenda that they're trying to push.
Yeah.
And so it becomes a convenient truth.
And knowing God already put it up there, it's just the Son takes care of all that.
That's right.
I mean, is the CO2 we're putting in the air causing the earth to warm up? Maybe.
Who knows?
Are we twisted slightly on the axis of the earth because we had a collision who knows how long ago in space with the earth and it pushed us slightly more tilted than what we're supposed to be and it causes
the
atmosphere to warm up? Who knows? But I mean, there's 100 different theories out there, but people go,
that's crazy.
We have proof that the atmosphere of the world has increased. And I was looking up facts and it said in Ohio, average yearly temperature in 2019 was 2.5 degrees Fahrenheit higher than it was in 1951. Okay, so they looked at that. They looked at back through records, and I'm thinking, why did they pick 1951? Was it different in 1950? Was it different in 1952? You know, and they took their facts and they skew the facts to make it what they wanted to say. And so how do we know what's true? It's crazy. It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what's true now might not have been true in the past and it might not be true in the future. So, I don't know. When somebody says, oh no, I'm telling you the truth. It's like, are you? Do you even know what the truth is? And you know, we got all of these counterfeits, tons and tons of counterfeits in the world. Like there's counterfeit stories, counterfeit news, counterfeit products, counterfeit relationships, counterfeit religions, counterfeit money. I mean, everybody makes stuff up.
We do.
Don't we? Don't we? I mean, how much propaganda's out there? Advertisement and promises and stuff on TV and.
Well, that's the thing. That's what messes up our life, you know. Trying to, because we don't stick to the word, we just start sticking to what the world tells us, and then that's when we get in trouble.
I know.
All the time.
I know.
Guilty as guilty can be.
It hits all of us, you know. We can sit here and we can say, you know what, I know the truth. This is the truth. I know the truth.
Yeah.
And I've tested this truth for, you know, 25 years or whatever, and it's always been true.
Absolutely.
Right? And, you know, people go, well, yeah, but that's your truth. That's not my truth. And that's why we have a hard time convincing people, you know, to test it and try it themselves. You know, I never tell, like when I share with kids and stuff at school, I don't tell them everything you believe is a lie if it doesn't have to do with the Bible. I tell them, hey, take the time to read it, to test it, ask God about it, see what he says, see if he doesn't make it true for you. Because just because I believe it, and I believe it with all my heart, I'm willing to put my life on it,
yeah.
Right? I believe it with all my heart, but I don't tell them they have to believe it just because I do. Because every person who I know who is totally convinced and convicted to Jesus Christ has had their own personal experience in order for that to happen, mm-hmm. Right? And I can share my experiences with them, but until they have one of their own, it's not real and it's not true for them.
Yeah, and what's bad is they always, being non-Christians, I would say most generally they'll think that you think that you're holier than thou.
Mm.
And that's, we have to be very careful about that.
And there's tons of accusations. There's tons of accusations about Christians that are made these days,
yeah,
that people believe. You know?
Yeah.
There's tons of stuff. If you stand up for something that you believe is true, then you're either a bigot, or you're a xenophobe, or you're a hater, or you're intolerant, or something. You know, there's all these accusations, and it's like, no, I just believe that this is going to cause you problems, and this is not the best choice that you can make in order for you to be happy. If I tell somebody something that's doing some crazy thing that I think is sin, and I say, look, the Bible says that this is sin, then I'm not telling them that to judge them or to put them down or to make them think that I'm better than them.
Right.
I'm telling them that because I want them to understand it and go, yeah, maybe they're right. Maybe I could do something differently because I want them to be happier. You know, I'm not trying to box anybody in or control anybody or manipulate anybody. I'm just saying, hey, this worked for me. This makes me happier. This makes me more peaceful. This makes me, you know, more excited. This gives me hope and light and energy. And it's better than what I had before I had it. And I kind of like to see you experience it too. You know? But everybody doesn't believe that.
Well, Satan used the word against Jesus, you know, if you're tempted. Of course, Jesus wrote the word.
Jesus knew. Jesus knew.
But, you know, but he did, even then.
I know.
So you don't think he's not trying to twist things all the time, constantly?
Constantly.
Just like if you go out, like if I go out and I see somebody that goes to the church and they're sitting there at dinner and they're having a drink or something. I mean, you know, a beer or whatever. I don't choose to do it.
Right.
But I'm not going to, if they want to have a beer or something.
Right.
I'm not going to judge them. I have no right to judge them. You know.
Right.
And, if, you know, we all do things that we shouldn't do.
People that smoke, you go, well, you shouldn't smoke. You should. That's not okay. You're hurting your body. People that eat too much candy or sugar or donuts or whatever, it's like, well, that's going to hurt you. That can cause. I mean, you know, where do you draw that line? We don't have a right to judge anyone of anything, but if we think that someone's doing something that's harmful, you know, then we can talk to them or pray with them or.
Yeah.
Whatever. Make it known.
Yeah, but yeah.
But you do it love.
Yeah, that's passed out in the street.
Yeah, that's a little different story.
Drunk or something. That's different than
seeing
somebody drinking a beer or wine or something.
Yeah. Yep. So.
You've got to get them sober before you even talk to them.
So the world don't believe there is absolute truth, right? It's relative. It changes. It's based on all kinds of different stuff. The thing about absolute truth is it can't be changed. Absolute truth can be discovered or it can be unveiled, but it can't be changed because it's something that's true. Always.
Right.
And that's what I believe. That's what I believe that Scripture is. I think Scripture is something that's true always. If it says in here something that it says this is what this is, then I believe that's what it is. And that it's not that way Tuesday and Wednesday it's something else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's the thing that I love about Scripture is I think Scripture is true and it was true 1,000 years ago and it's true today and it's going to be true 1,000 years from now because it doesn't change. It's timeless. It doesn't depend on conditions. It doesn't depend on observation. Just because I don't see something happening in my life doesn't mean that it isn't real or that it isn't true. It still is true. And we can't change it. And there's people that are trying to. There's people that are trying to change Scriptures. You know, they're saying, well, I believe this, but I don't believe that. I don't think Jesus really walked on water. I think that's a metaphor. I don't think Jesus really parted the Red Sea. I think that was a metaphor. I don't think Jesus really performed this miracle or that miracle. I think those were just examples. But I do believe that it's a good book and it'll help you live a better life. I mean, there's people that are call themselves Christians, and I can't judge whether they're, you know, saved or not, but there's people that call themselves Christians and they make those kinds of statements. And they pick and choose what they want to believe and what they don't want to believe in Scripture. And it's like, that's a scary thing.
That is scary.
That's a scary
and
thing.
Dangerous.
Because we get to the point where we go, well, Jesus was a good man, and he was a good teacher, but he wasn't the Son of God. And then that changes everything. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That changes everything.
Yeah.
So, I think that I wrote down here, I said, the world is convinced that truth is relative, and today it seems more like the world is more concerned with not offending one another than confronting sin. We're focused on accepting anything and normalizing sin to the point that it's not sin anymore. And that's kind of how I see or how I think or feel about it. It's like we're normalizing sin to the point that it's not sin. We don't see it as sin anymore. And that doesn't mean that it's not sin. It just means that we've accepted it and we still do it. And God still says what sin is. We don't.
Right.
Yeah.
It's disobedience.
Yeah.
Sin is disobedience. And just because we color it and make it pretty doesn't mean it's not sin.
Jesus said if it's even in your mind.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Doing it, so.
Yeah, he talks about looking at a woman with lust in your eye, then you've already committed adultery in your heart. If you say reka to your brother, then you know, you've already judged your brother and you know, it's like murdering. It's like,
wow, that's, you know, you just let that just slide over your head, I guess.
But we do stuff all the time that is sinful, and then we justify it, we pacify ourselves, and we think, oh, well, you know, I'm not as bad as that guy. Or, right? Well, I must be okay, I'm not as bad as that guy. You know, well, God loves me and he's going to forgive me and he died for all sins, so it doesn't matter if I sin a little or if I sin a lot, because he already died for it all. That's a scary mindset to have.
That opens up a door, doesn't it?
That opens up a door. That opens up a big door.
But you know, in reality, you know, God's going to be the one that's going to judge us. And whatever it is. So, you know, we look at people that, you know, that are murderers, you know, and we look down on them, but you know what? If they repented, God's going to take care of them.
Yep.
And it's hard for us, especially if they, you know, abuse children or
I know.
Anything that just stands out.
I know, that's a hard one for me.
It's hard, yes.
I love kids.
Oh, it's so hard.
And that's a hard one for me when you find out that somebody's, like, you know, molested a child or abused a child or, you know, anything like that. It's like, ugh.
Yeah, more than if they're just doing something to hurt themselves. But, yeah, but yet, you know, it's somewhat hard to comprehend. How can you just forgive anybody? But God can, and only God can.
Yep. And thank you, Lord, that he can, because otherwise we're all in trouble.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
It is truth.
Yeah, that's what I say. Isn't that the truth? Yep.
We throw terms like political correctness and stuff out there, and, you know, I think that those who are coming against Christians have used political correctness as a weapon, and it's kind of like, if you say something that they disagree with, then you're not being politically correct, and you deserve to be judged or punished or whatever. And I think we've politically corrected ourselves into a corner so they can't even speak up anymore. And I think what has happened is that fear of being judged and, you know, being called all of those things, because that's what the adversary does. I mean, like I said, if you say, well, I don't really think that, say, homosexuality is okay with God, then all of a sudden, you're not just somebody that disagrees with that, you're a xenophobe. You hate everyone who's different, everyone, and it's like, well, no, I didn't say all that. You know, but it seems like people lash out and come at you with like an extreme and make that judgmental, you know, they get a judgmental state of mind and they come at you with in an attack. And it's like, I wasn't trying to attack this guy that's homosexual. I just think that it's going to cause him more harm. And I think that the Bible says it's a sin and he's got to make sure that he's getting right with God if he's going to. Right? I mean, repentance means repentance. You can't just say, I'm sorry, God, keep doing the same thing. I'm sorry, God, keep doing the same thing. I'm sorry, God, keep doing the same thing. I mean, even though he's going to keep forgiving us when we're truly sorry, there's that. Where are we playing a game, and where are we truly repenting? You know what I mean? That's the tricky part right there. It's like, if we repent, that means we're turning away, right? Repent is a military term that means turn 180 degrees. So if you're walking in this sin and you know it's a sin and you're convicted of it and you repent, that means you're walking away from it. You're not still walking toward it. You're not still engaging in it. You're not still doing it. If I'm still doing the same thing and I'm saying, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm not repenting. I'm just telling him I'm sorry. I'm just playing word games. And he knows the difference. I mean, he knows whether I am real or whether I'm not. And now, can you slip up in the same thing? Can you have a desire to not do something and then you screw up and you do it, even though you're not trying to? Yeah. Does that mean you didn't repent? I don't think so. I think you're walking away. You know, if I'm walking towards something and it's a sin and I turn around and I'm walking away from it, I don't automatically go from the middle of whatever this sin is completely away from it. You know, I'm walking away from it. I'm getting away from it. Doesn't mean I'm not going to turn around and look at it again, right? But I don't turn around and go after it again. If I turn around and go after it again, then I'm not repentant. And I think that all of that is part of how we just justify and justify what's right, what's wrong, what's true, what's not true. And the world keeps us confused because it just tells us everything's relative. I've got some scriptures that talk about truth. I wanted to read, because this, I believe, is true. All of that sin that we talk about, Jesus died for all of it, right? He died for all of it. It's like, even like you said, we may look down and look harsher at someone who's a murderer or a molester or a child abuser or something, but Jesus died for all of it.
Yeah.
Let's look at John 17:14. I think there is still an original and a standard. I think that God is still the original and his word is the standard. And if God is the original and his word is the standard, then I believe that if you are, what does it say, fidelity to an original or a standard, I think if we have fidelity to original and standard, and that's God and the word, then I think we're going to be all right. But John 17:14. Does anybody have it already?
Yeah.
You want to read it?
14 through what?
No, John 7, oh, 14 through 19.
I have given them the word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified.
So these are red letters, right? This is Jesus, and he is basically talking to God. He's talking to his Father. And he says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And so this is telling us that his word is true and that we can trust in it, right? We can believe in it. We can be sanctified by it. And that the world's probably going to hate us. The world's probably going to hate us because we're going to have to stand up for truth, real truth, what's true and what's right and what doesn't change. And the world hated him because he came and pointed out the lies, and the world's going to hate us if we do the same thing. But he says, your word is truth. And if Jesus says your word is truth, I'm going to believe that it's true. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3.
Theologian.
Yeah, I know where it is. That was a...
2 Timothy 3.
2 Timothy 3. I had 3, 10 through 17, but I'm going to read the whole thing. It's not very long. Paul says, but mark this. This will be terrible time. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Whew. That just told me to walk away from just about everybody. I mean, almost, right? That describes our society pretty good. They are a kind of worm. Oh, they are the kind who worm their way into homes to gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far, because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, and what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from those whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. He's telling us that the world's going to be crazy, right?
Yeah.
And that we've got to hang on to the truth.
It is.
And the world is crazy.
It's getting crazier.
It is. And we got to hold on. We got to hold on. He's saying hold on to what you know. Hold on and trust in the Scriptures. I've never read anything in Scripture that I can disprove. Have you? Have you guys ever read anything that you can disprove?
Nope.
I can read things that maybe hasn't happened personally to me yet, but...
And I read things that haven't, and especially in Revelation, you know, and I guess it's...
That hasn't happened yet. Yeah.
But there are all kinds of signs pointing that direction.
I just know that if I trust in this, that my life has completely gotten better and turned around, and I'm happier. I have hope. I have faith. I have love. I have lots of good things in my heart and in my life, instead of having darkness and anger and hatred and resentment and greed and lust and all the craziness that, you know, everybody runs around fighting each other over. Everything that I used to fight everybody over, and I don't need to do any of that anymore. I don't need to do any of that anymore. I can relax and trust and have faith and peace of mind.
You can look backwards and say, praise God, He pulled me up from that stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And He still is. He still does.
Yeah, we're still fighting things.
All right, how about John 14?
One of my favorites.
See, these are verses that I found that talks about truth. I'm not sure the guy that put this together, why he picked that 1 Peter.
It's hard to tell.
But, you know, I think that's word picking. I think people do word picking sometimes. They type something in somewhere and it pops up a bunch of stuff and you're just picking out because it says that word. And I'm trying to make that point, so I'm going to use that because it says that word, but you got to take time to look at it.
John 14, what?
14, 1, 1 through 7. Anybody else want to read it?
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also there you may be also. And how far down do you want me to read?
Through 7.
Okay. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know where the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Amen.
Amen. And you want me to go all the way? Is that it? That's...
Sure, well, yeah, that's 6.
You want me to stop, right?
Yeah, 7 says, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. But, I don't think it gets any plainer than that as far as Jesus is concerned. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life.
No one comes to the Father but through me.
And that's why people hate us. If you're a Christian and you believe that you have to only get to the Father through Jesus Christ, then you are narrow-minded. You are not willing to believe other religions. You are not willing to worship other gods. You are not willing to water down your faith. You're not willing to do those things because you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. And people don't want to think they have to do something a certain way. They want to do it their own way. And he gives us that freedom of choice. And so look at the world around us. They don't want to be boxed in. They want to, I'll find heaven my own way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I talk to people all the time that say, well, if God is a loving God, that you say he's a loving God, then when it comes to the end, he's going to just let everybody in because he's a loving God. If he created us all, we're all his children, and he's just going to gather us up and bring us all in, and he's, you know, why would he condemn anyone to hell if he's the loving God that you say he is? And there's people that truly, truly think that that is okay. And they can do whatever and live however and believe whatever and treat people badly and everything else. And in the end, it's just all going to be okay. Because I did more good things than I did bad things.
You cannot move yourself.
So, I don't know. This says the word is truth, and this says that Jesus is truth.
That's right.
Right? John 16, 1 through 15. That's just kind of like turn the page. Jesus says, all of this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think that he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is good. It is for your good that I go away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So this is saying that God's word is truth, that Jesus is truth, that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth.
I think we don't depend on the Holy Spirit enough a lot of times. I think.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a big factor.
I agree.
Because we just, I don't know, maybe they just, we wonder sometimes, I guess, oh, when Satan gets in there, he says, wait a minute now, I shouldn't be thinking this way. Okay, you know, and you got to get down and ask God to let the Holy Spirit show you.
Yeah.
You know, guide.
And we don't. We get distracted. I hear them singing. Oh. Well, I got a couple more, but we better close because it's okay. 56. It's 56 after. Huh? Lord, we just come to you and thank you. Oh. You tell us that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And you tell us that your scripture is God-breathed and that it's good for teaching and for building up and for encouraging and even for rebuking, Lord. You tell us that your scripture is truth, and you tell us that your Holy Spirit is truth, and that we can trust in and believe in you, Lord. When the whole world tries to lie to us, tries to force counterfeit things down our throats, tries to manipulate our thoughts, Lord, we can watch news today and we don't know if it's truth or not. We can see things and hear things and we don't know if it's true or not. Help us, Lord, to remember that we can compare these things that we are struggling with. We can compare them to what your word says, to what your Holy Spirit says to us, but we have to take the time. And like Richard said, we don't always take the time to seek and to listen to your Holy Spirit. We run through our lives and through each day, and we just get so busy and so wrapped up in things and so out of focus, Lord, that we need to get back to truth. So we just ask that you would help us to do that every single day, that we can trust in you and believe in you and hope in you, and that we can truly know what truth is. We thank you and praise you, and we offer this up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.